And welcome to the M2 Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Antony. My co-host right here is Kyle Heath. This is a show where we cover gaming industry-related news of the week. We're talking new and upcoming games, technology, innovation, esports personalities, and just general overall gaming industry-related stuff. So, Kyle, what have you been up to, man? What's been good this last week?
How you been? Dude. Last week was Thanksgiving and everything, right? So it's kind of just like...
That's true,
yeah. It's time with family. Played a lot of Call of Duty, in particular the zombies. Grinded more of that. So
very nice.
More stuff there. Got a little bit further along in the story because it does have like a little bit of a storyline. So played a little bit of that. Got some nice progression done. I've been grinding that with my boy. It's nice that it's kind of multiplayer, so you can just like hop in with a buddy and kind of just do like a PvE thing. Yes, I've been doing that, and I saw they announced some of the season one stuff today for COD, and apparently they're adding more content to zombies with this first season, so exciting stuff there. It's kind of like, it's good that they're continuing on with some of that stuff, because I think it's a mode that deserves some extra care and content, so excited for that. I honestly think that's the main thing I grinded this week. I don't know if I really played anything else. It was just a lot of that, really. Just playing that.
That's not so bad, though.
I'll probably die down a little bit, and I'll be able to hop on some other stuff soon, but yeah, it's because there's still a lot of games I gotta get back to, but I was just grinding a lot of that this week for me.
Cool, man. Yeah, for me, I've been grinding all the games, dude. Have you seen my status? I think you probably saw me playing some more Rocket League. I've been playing.
So you play Warhammer, right? Something like that.
Yeah, dude. Well, I started Warhammer 40K, right? And I did the whole character selection, creation mode, and then did the tutorial and training. The game is smooth, butter, pretty cool.
Nice.
I was messing around with that and just trying to create my character so that my friends can come in and join me, like the Back for Blood crew that we were rolling with.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The problem is like they're lazy, so it's like I gotta force them to do it. They really, really don't want to play games that won't let you just jump into it and figure it out on your own.
Yeah,
because like we're all older. That's how we learned how to play. There were no tutorials. I mean, there kind of was. There was the old like books you have to go and buy at the gaming store. Tutorials to like explain how things are. That's one of the reasons why I like Nintendo. They're kind of just like throw you in, go play kind of thing.
Right.
With some games at least. Nowadays you can't do that. You have to do the tutorial. You have to do like, oh, this is how you walk forward. This is how you sprint. This is how you crouch. It's like, oh, you mean the same exact buttons that have been in every game for the last 20 years? That's crazy. Like, come on, man. It's not that big of a deal. So trying to get them on that has been a challenge. Watching a little bit of sports, that's been fun. Again, Thanksgiving was cool. I got a variety of games that I've been playing. So it's like, I got the usual. I got the Rocket League I've been playing. Pretty close to getting to champ level. I think I'm maybe like 3 wins away, consistent, but MMR screws me all the time, or skill-based matchmaking screws me all the time. I've been playing Halo 2 on Cartographer, on MCC, and on the original Xbox. That's been fun. I've also played World of Warships. Did I talk about that last week? I got into like warships and the lore of like World War II stuff. So now I'm like 2 tiers away from getting in a submarine. And I'm like, I got to get in the submarine, dude. So I'm just grinding that game. The last one I've been playing, played a little bit of Counter-Strike, played some Valorant for once. I got in Valorant and I'm getting like 500 frames on that. I was like stunned. Ooh, baby. Stunned to see him that high. That was really sick. There's another game. Oh, yeah, Mario Party. All-Star on the Nintendo Switch. I was playing that with like... Yeah, with family and stuff.
That's pretty sick.
So much fun. It's so much fun.
It's like the perfect family game.
I won. I'm a champion.
Hey.
they're all talking trash. I won, and I'm just like, I gave a whole speech, basically called everybody trash. I was like, you can't beat me. I've been playing this game since I was like 12 years old. We're not the same. That kind of attitude. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
It was fun, man.
M2 podcast host, we gotta prove our gaming expertise and all that every now and then.
Gaming try prowess. To. When we have the time, I think is the culprit, dude. Because you've been grinding Alan Wake for the longest time, and now you're like, okay, I'm on the COD grind.
Yeah.
and I had family in for like over a month, so I haven't actually been in this is like the gaming yeah. space, right?
Yeah.
So this is where I've been trying to like game and do everything I can, and just there was somebody already staying here, so I was like, oh crap, I gotta like be present now, but all I want to do is just lock myself in this room, give me like a couple of things to sip on, and just let me play games. Leave me alone, man.
Yeah.
Let me throw on like a popular podcast in the corner, listen to something, and then shoot some tanks or like shoot some warships across the map.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, hey, Mike, I'm just saying, we got season 5 in like a month and a half, so who knows what next year could bring, you know? Who knows
Very true. We also got Grand Theft Auto teaser probably coming in the next month.
Yeah.
So
next week, maybe?
A lot of things.
I don't know.
Question mark? Hopefully. Question mark, that'd be nice.
I don't know. Yeah, it'd be nuts.
Man. Something I do want to get out of the way before we dive into the first article is I am somewhat sick. So
this guy.
If my voice sounds different, I hope it doesn't. And I'm trying to keep the energy level up, but dude, I'm drained.
Yeah. This round of applause.
We're
going to
power through, though.
Yeah, this man, I was like, listen, you know, we don't have to push it, Mike. Like, I understand. Like, I, you know, when you're sick, you're sick. It's like, well, he's out here. That's all I'm saying. Mike's the goat.
I said, I'm not missing another week, man. We only missed one week this season.
Yeah, dude, we were on to the season, so got to keep to it. All right.
Yes, sir. All right, let's get into it.
Baby, let's get it. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a while since we talked about a controller, I think. I have to say, it's been a little bit of a minute. There's not been too much like newer hardware, I feel like. However, we start off this week with Turtle Beach. I know Turtle Beach has released some stuff recently. However, they're coming out with, I guess, their own sort of pro controller. It's probably the best way of putting it. This comes from The Verge. Antonio G.D. Benedito. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. I don't know.
I'm not going to correct you.
Antonio,
I don't know either.
Let's go. Antonio's a go. All right. So, Turtle Beach put drift-free sticks and a screen on its new $200 controller for Xbox and PC. It's got the kitchen sink worth of premium features, including, of course, some RGB lighting. $200,
it would be a gaming controller.
$200! Premium product, but let's continue reading. Turtle Beach is throwing its hat in the premium market ring with a new $200 gamepad for Xbox and PC called the Stealth Ultra Wireless Controller, launching on December 15th. But instead of simply adding some rear buttons and hair triggers, the hallmarks of most competitive-focused gamepads, it's also packing drift-proof Hall Effect joysticks and a 1.5-inch screen capable of both fine-tuning settings and getting notifications from your phone. In addition to being Turtle Beach's first foray into the ultra-pricey gamepad world, competing with the likes of Xbox Elite Series 2 and SCUF controllers, it's also the company's first fully wireless Xbox Series XS controller, following the trend of Microsoft slowly opening up its wireless licensing while it's shutting some third parties out. It doesn't connect quite as effortlessly as stock Xbox gamepads, but the Stealth Ultra uses a simple USB-A dongle that can be plugged into its included dock, tying up only one USB port on your Xbox console or PC for both connectivity and recharging. And arguably, most importantly, Stealth Ultra can remotely turn on an Xbox console even though it connects via a dongle. Something that's unfortunately isn't the case over the PlayStation land. Okay, you know, a little bit of a pause off the bat. I think there's some interesting features with this, and I think it's finally part of those, I think, are possible due to Xbox kind of, you know, starting to release some of their technology.
Kind of, right? I don't know if they're releasing technology, right? They're doing two things. They're trying to make it more accessible for third parties to get in and make controllers. Like, the wireless is a huge deal. Like, pretty much every controller that you get outside of the Xbox sphere, like SCUF and Beaver, because they're just modded Xbox controllers, they're all wired for that reason. So it's cool to see, like, there's more wireless. That's pretty awesome. But they are making it, I read recently, we might have even covered it on the podcast like about a month ago. And it was about how Xbox is now making it so you have to be a licensed retailer or like partnered with
like
them.
Designed by Xbox or whatever.
Designed by Xbox or partnered by Xbox, something along those lines. And the reason why they were trying to do that is they're trying to get rid of the whole like third party dongle switches like the Cronus and the Zim and stuff that people are using to cheat on console. So they're like trying to get more and more away from that and like really cut back on the amount of cheating that's going on in gaming. So yeah, it's cool. I how do you feel about Turtle Beach? I think I first heard about them in like 2008 or 2009 when they became sponsored, or they sponsored the MLG circuit for Halo 3.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the OG brands in my eyes, right? Like the late 2000s and the 2010s. I know that was one of like the first headsets I wanted whenever I got into Xbox, right? It was like, oh, I want a Turtle Beach headset, because it's like it was like a budget friendly, but I heard it was still pretty good. So I wanted to get something like that. I remember when Astros for me were like, that was like the best of the best, Astros, right?
Top.
Like,
yeah, everyone really like were.
Who was anyone kind of used Astros, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I mean, I still have A50s, but these are like arguably like not the best anymore kind of thing. When I've heard, so it's like, it's interesting how it's kind of changed.
I have A40s. Yeah. I have like Gen, I think I have Gen 1 A40s with the mix amp.
Yeah. I probably had like Gen 1 or Gen 2 A40s at one point. And they're a great headset, but I know now, like for me, I'm not like as into like super competitive stuff. So, but like SteelSeries, I feel like is top of the top now in terms of like you want wireless, like a wireless audio headset provides good quality. That's kind of like the way to go with like the switchable batteries and everything. But yeah, I mean, Turtle Beach has kind of been that OG brand, right? And so now with this controller, it's nice to kind of see them sort of still in the market, I think, in a way. And so, yeah, that's kind of what this represents for me. It's kind of seeing this. And look, the case and everything kind of reminds you of the Series 2 kind of Elite controller, right?
It does. Yeah. Well, the whole style is, and I find it very interesting that they put a screen on it.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into some of the features that it has. I don't know if I would use it.
Yeah.
But it's really cool to see. You know? It's like one of those.
That's interesting.
It's a premium feature for a premium controller, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, me personally, I probably wouldn't use it. But that's still pretty fascinating, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's clearly like this is like their way to be different kind of thing. Like their way to kind of stick out. So yeah, I mean, let's read on a little more. They probably go into detail. So the Stealth Ultra also has a laundry list of premium features you normally find in $150 plus controllers, like 4 programmable rear buttons, hair trigger lockouts, tactile micro switches for its face buttons and bumpers, swappable thumbsticks, Bluetooth connectivity, customizable RGB lighting, and a zip-up hard shell case with pass-through USB-C charging. The most significant omission from the Stealth Ultra that comes to my mind, the mind of Antonio, is the lack of interchangeable D-pads. Sorry, fighting game fans. Yeah, that's the thing. You get the circle D-pad, right? It's a good point, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like though if you're that serious to have like a unique D-pad specifically for fighting games, you're probably got like the whole setup that you would put on your lap, you know, like an actual arcade with the OG joystick and stuff, you know. Or if you already have a Thrustmaster, then I would get those ones instead.
Yeah.
But that's such like a niche market, I think.
Yeah, it is very niche, right? I think there's probably not as many people worried about a D-pad on a controller, but anyways, its claimed 30 hours of battery life falls short of the Xbox Elite's max of 40 hours, though frankly, 30 hours is still miles ahead of any current Sony controller out there. Shots fired, Antonio. Oh my gosh.
It's very true.
Great technology, I must say. I feel like with controllers and everything, whenever the stats and stuff come out of like performance and whatnot, it's like Sony controllers are like the top, right?
They are, yes. For sure. So, like in terms of quality, I think the actual hardware is really, really good. I do have a mutual friend of ours who's been researching the heck out of controllers, and he's working on a YouTube video for it. And what he's discovered is he thinks that the Xbox controllers are actually better in terms of like software. So I'm curious how that would be when I've always like known and always thought PlayStation was amazing with their controllers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting, right? Definitely, I think, change the narrative a little bit if that is the case.
It would.
So
agreed.
Curious to see that. Anyways, this controller maintains a Kandry. I never know how to say that word. It's like, because I hear it both ways, I feel like. Kandry. Anyway. Maintains a cadre of Turtle Beach's software features found in its low-cost Recon and React R controllers, various DQ presets for tweaking headset game audio, superhuman hearing to get a better bead of enemy footsteps, while using a 3.5mm wired headset and a pro aim for quickly cranking down stick sensitivity while trying to pick off some accurate sniper shots.
Let's go.
Crazy stuff there, right? They showed the dongle. This is the dongle, Mike, for those on the video. Or for those listening audio only, it's essentially just a little black square of plastic that has three gold connectors on it, so you can set the back of the controller on it to just charge it kind of without plugging it in. And it plugs to USB-C, and it has a little slot under the controller for the dongle, so it's a pretty nice setup, I think, because you could just plug the dongle in, it's out of the way, so you literally just throw the controller on the pad, and it charges. Pretty sick.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's kind of like the controller, too, like the Elite controller, like when it charges in the case, it has those, you know, those gold pins that just connect to the back, so you just plug the case in, throw the controller in, and it charges. I think it's a cool way of doing things. That's how the Astro A50s, that's what I have, that's how they charge wirelessly without the need to hook them up. It's just got two, like, gold-plated connectors that just hook up to the thing and charge it. So I think it's an interesting way to charge things and without having to bother with a cable. It's awesome. Where the Stealth Ultra really sets itself apart is the Hall Effect sticks and that bonkers screen jammed into the middle. Hall Effect sticks are the welcomed addition to this premium controller segment, as equally pricey gamepads from both Microsoft and Sony can suffer from stick drift over time, but the Stealth Ultra screen offers an intriguing novelty for connectivity and settings. While you may think it's a touchscreen, it actually isn't. The on-screen controls of the 1.5-inch display can only be tinkered with by hitting the plus button on the bottom of the controller's face, disconnecting your inputs from the game, and dialing in what you see on the screen. So, not touchscreen, which, you know, interesting choice, I guess. But then, you know, you don't want it to interfere, probably, if you're like a savage gamer that just, like, I don't know. She's the controller kind of weird.
Yeah.
I mean, notifications is kind of cool, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It does seem kind of gimmicky, I feel, but, you know. I guess whichever way you want to do it. But we must figure out, Mike, what can we control on this tiny screen? Well, for starters, all the Turtle Beach's audio customizations, RGB lighting effects, and up to 10 user customizable controller profiles that actually sounds much better than other Turtle Beach controllers, which have a cluster of somewhat confusing buttons to toggle many of those settings. The other use for the Stealth Ultra screen is getting phone notifications mirrored to your gamepad directly from iOS or Android. Android phone notifications require you to install Turtle Beach's Control Center 2 app, which can also be used to dial in the same settings found on the Stealth Ultra's built-in screen. And then, you know, the rest of the article is kind of just an opinion piece, I think, Tony, kind of how he feels about it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, Mike, what do you think? Do you want to get Twitter notifications blowing up your actual, like, gamepad? Could you imagine?
Maybe.
Just, maybe. Like, playing. Like,
I mean, like, think about it this way. If you could set it up, like, if you're a streamer and you want to be able to see how your post is doing on whatever social media platform, if you post, like, a clip or you post some type of content, you can have it synced up to your controller so you don't have to, like, look at your monitors. Or if you have a single monitor setup, this basically becomes, like, an extra monitor for you.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's very limited.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think there could be some use for it. I think it's an interesting thought process to have this, like, advanced audio tuning that's built into the controller. It looks as if they're doing the standard software uses where you can, like, program these high-end controllers through, like, a PC program, but it's also built into the controller itself, which kind of gives it a little bit more of a on-the-go feel. You know, if you're, like, on the couch and you want to do a couple of different things and change around the controls and the audio, and you can do it right from the controller instead of having to open up another window or whatever you got to do to get into that type of editing software, just having it all built into the controller is pretty nice.
Yeah, that's very true. It's a good point. I think my only, like, for me, like, having the extra controller screen, if I'm playing at my desk especially, my hands are, like, under the desk holding the controller.
Same.
So I just can't see it. Same. It's like, it, like, defeats the purpose almost, kind of.
That's a great point. I don't think I've... I've never in my life put a controller, like, up high. Like even when I used to, like... Yeah, dude. Even when I used to, like, game all the time in college and I didn't have my own table and, like, the TV right behind me was mounted to the wall, I would stand and play. Like, it was eye to eye with me, like, the way I had it set up. So it was, like, perfectly, like, the center of the screen matched with my eye level. So,
nice. Okay.
But I would hold the controller, like, down towards, like, my hips. Yeah, and I wouldn't ever, like, yeah, just like lay back kind of, it looked like. But that's just, yeah, I don't know. But if it like you can set up a program or whatever, it'll vibrate, like give you a little notification or something. And you just look down. I mean, that's super convenient, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think for some people it could, you know, work pretty well. Right. I don't know. I mean, the voice boost stuff, I mean, I guess that's like if you're like on Xbox, unless you're like on console, I feel like there's not too much of a use for something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for
the Discord would be sick.
Yeah.
Discord notifications.
That'd actually be pretty sick. That's a good idea. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's certainly, I think, a use for some people to get used to that screen. I mean, the way they kind of show it, like the user using it in like the advertisement photo,
yeah,
he's like, he's playing with like his hands and his arms almost rested like on his desk. So it's kind of somewhat at eye level. But yeah, I feel like it's probably, I think it's probably not how most people play. At least like when I'm going around like watching like streamers and stuff like that, like playing competitive shooters, like they're very much like locked in, like controller down, out of sight kind of thing.
It could be a distraction, but from a casual audience, it could be pretty cool. I think where the real value comes in is the Hall Effect joysticks. Just seeing and more of those coming along is really cool.
Yeah. That's the big thing, man. Like, and that's what I noticed when they, because they talk about that in the article, like, hey, it's drift-free joysticks. I immediately think, like, oh, Hall Effect joystick. It's really sick that I think we're seeing more and more of this because it's a technology that's like just miles better than anything we've had before. Like, joystick.
Well, it's a technology that we've had since Sega. So, Sega Genesis.
Like, oh,
that's
really?
A long time. Okay. It was on the original Sega Genesis controller. So it's not new. It's just...
That's interesting. I wonder why it's like wasn't adopted. Maybe it's like a cost thing. I don't know.
Cheaper. Yeah. Definitely cheaper. Well, not the Hall Effect, but it's cheaper, like the to other make options joysticks. Cheaper. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah.
It all comes down to money. So it's like, I get it. For me, I think the future of controllers is going to be modular with Hall Effect joysticks.
Yeah.
What Thrustmaster's doing, I think it's going to keep going that way. Because like Thrustmaster became super popular, and the next thing that happened was PlayStation Edge, the PS5 Edge controller came out, which is modular. Yeah. Yep. And then the next thing is probably going to be Xbox.
I'd hope their next iteration has something like that, right?
Yeah.
I think modular sticks just make sense, especially with, you know, especially if you want to, like, if you want to boost your, like, the consumer kind of, like, the grade of everything, and you want to make the consumer like your product more, I think, especially in the controller market, like make it modular, because saves money.
Make it modular, make it so stick drift doesn't happen, make it so the button, like mechanical buttons and like everything, they don't clog, they don't break, they hold on for a very long time. Like, gamers care about longevity more than anything, I think.
Yeah.
It's like you can up with a controller that's kind of broken in a way, like it has a couple of errors with it. Like, people do that all the time because the controllers are kind of expensive. But if you could spend like 2 times the cost of a normal controller, but you could justify it because it's not going to die on you for 3 years, I mean, you would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think most people would, right? And so,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, they say that some people, you know, if you have a bad controller, bad experience, it could turn out to be some real lethal company over time. You know what I'm saying, Mike? Like, it could be some real, like, you could really...
Like the game?
Yeah, it could really, you know, kind of, like, hinder your experience, right? So, with that being said...
Dude, sometimes I wonder if our segues are cringy or not. I think it's the charm of the show. I think it's the charm of the show.
It is, dude. Darn it.
Anyways. So Clayton Ashley over at Polygon wrote an article about Lethal Company. So he titled it, Lethal Company is the morbidly hilarious game taking Twitch by storm. We will make quota, we will make quota, we will make quota. Have you seen anything with Lethal Company?
I mean, I'll be honest, Mike, one of the main reasons I wanted to include this article is because I've seen so much about the game, and it's taking, like, it's just taking any gaming sort of social media by storm right now. So I feel like it was worth talking about and like saying like, hey, this is what this game is doing right now kind of thing, because it's everywhere.
Oh, it's popping off for sure. All right, let's get into this article. So this is coming from the perspective of Clayton over at Polygon. So I'm basically going to read it word for word as if I'm him. So that's the context as we get into this. So the first time I played Lethal Company, I had barely walked 50 feet from our spaceship when I sank into some quicksand and died. The next time, I was obliterated by an automated turret, not because I walked in its way, but because one of my colleagues bashed it with the stop sign in a failed attempt to break it. In another mission, I was unceremoniously dragged away from our group by something before any of them knew what was happening. I should have been frustrated when this game punished me again, yet again, but instead I was laughing. Lethal Company is frightening, but it uses a power of communal terror and slapstick animations to create the most morbidly hilarious game in years. Lethal Company was released in late October, but the game really exploded on Twitch in the middle of November. And then he shows a wild Steam chart. So for the people that are only listening, at the beginning of the month, November 7th, there was, what do you reckon, less than 15,000 people playing?
Oh, yeah. Very small amount.
About a week later, it was, so November 14th, that looks more like 45,000. Double. And then another week, so November 23rd, around Thanksgiving, you're consistently above 120,000. And then the most recent one looks like it hit 180,000 on November 27th. Yeah. That is astronomical growth.
Dude, yeah, for real, in just 1 month. It's insane. But
absolutely wild, dude.
I mean, for everything I've seen, though, it's looks like a great game, you know? Nice little indie. Just takes off.
I love when we cover indie games, just because this kind of stuff is amazing to me. They're the only ones that are trying stuff new, I think.
Oh, yeah. Always.
So I'll go a little bit further, but basically, Lethal Company is especially charming and horrifying when players get the chance to discover just what the game is all about on their own. I say that if you've read this far and find your curiosity is already peaked, I think is the word.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah.
I thought it would have been P-E-A-K. Okay. That just shows how well I did in English class, dude.
Peaked, yeah.
Yeah, so peaked, has already peaked. Just gave the budget-priced game a try. You can also tune in to their stream on Twitch, and their stream is Tuesday, Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So go check that out if you want to. Again, this is Polygon, so.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it, man? Like, I've only seen a couple of clips here and there. I think it's perfect for streamers, and that's probably why it's been popping off on Twitch.
Oh, yeah. It really is. I think, like, you know, it's so funny, like, the group kind of horror-style games, I think, really took off Phasmophobia, right? It was, like, the first one that was like, okay, there's something here. And so people are kind of, like, I think, iterating off that to a certain extent. And, like, yeah, every clip I see, it's like, yeah, like, sure, this is the horror game, but it's also just, like, there's so much, like, witty and just unexpected things you can do. And that's what just makes it so, like, I think so much fun to watch and play. So, yeah, I mean, it's, but it's just, like, the main thing, I mean, the fact that we're, like, 180,000 players, like, almost consistently at this point, it's, like, this is after Halloween, and it's a quote-unquote horror game, right? So it's, like, I don't know, it looks fun, like, everyone to talk to, like, yeah, it's good, like, you should try it, so.
Yeah, it seems perfect for... So, what overall is it for the people that haven't seen anything about it before? It looks like it's a team-based, well, it's a horror game, yes, but it's a team-based almost puzzle.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably something. I mean, I haven't played like a full match or anything, but just from like the clips I've seen, it's kind of like you have like tasks to do, and like, you know, it's you're just trying to kind of get your task done, but there's like creatures and things in the way that could just like out of nowhere annihilate you. So that's kind of the vibe I get from it. But the whole point of the game is, I guess, you're trying to make a quota. So it's like, you know, that's the goal. And it's difficult to do that. So
I'll read the official description. So Lethal Company is a 2023 co-op indie horror video game developed and published by Zekers with two S's at the end. It takes place in a retro, futuristic, post-apocalyptic dystopia. That is a very vivid description. Where players take on the role of contracted employees working for a corporation named The Company, collecting scrap from abandoned industrial moons while having to avoid traps, environmental hazards, and monster. So, yeah, they're trying to meet quota for their employers. And typical contract employers are not respected. Probably don't have insurance.
Yeah, likely.
And they'll inevitably be fired by Microsoft.
Yeah, likely, you know. Doesn't matter where you work, you know. Microsoft will be able to get you, you know. It's crazy out here.
Oh, so you get fired if you don't actually meet your quota.
Yeah, you're out of there, dude. Goodbye.
And then they rank you based on employee level, and then you get fined. That's very interesting.
Such a it's a funny game, man. Something I definitely will try out at some point, I think. Recharge batteries, your flashlight, you know. Try and not get fined.
Heck yeah. Well, you know what is also another project that's been going on the AAA side that's kind of whatever you want it to be. Hopefully we had the same order of, okay, thank you. You keep switching up the articles on me, brother. All right.
Listen. All right.
Have you caught up to where this game DLC matters?
Yeah, I played some of the DLC. It's one of the things I think I got like halfway through, and I just kind of ended up, other things came up, did other stuff. I need to go back and finish it with many things I've been doing lately.
Fair.
But yeah, for those of you who are watching the video, I don't know what game we're talking about, but it is Cyberpunk 2077. And this is kind of a little bit of a interesting piece because it comes from Darren Bonthius. I took a shot right there with that name. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know.
So thankful you're taking the tough last names, man.
GameSpot.com, right? It's an article from GameSpot. It's kind of highlighting CDPR's sort of what happened at CD Projekt Red with the, you know, kind of failure of Cyberpunk 2077's launch and kind of how that's like evolved the company. So that was pretty interesting. But Cyberpunk's 2077 rough launch led to a massive structural overhaul at CD Projekt Red. CDPR's workflow is more agile and supportive in the wake of Cyberpunk 2077's infamous launch. 3 years ago, after a rough launch, Cyberpunk 2077 is in the best shape thanks to a steady stream of updates, patches, and the launch of Phantom Liberty expansion that brought sweeping changes to the game. Compared to the version that first launched, Cyberpunk 2077 is almost unrecognizable thanks to all of its upgrades, a lean and mean open-world sci-fi experience that succeeds, making you feel like an edge runner and nothing to lose and everything to gain. But getting to this point required serious introspection from developer CD Projekt Red, as it faced negative reviews, player backlash, and a tarnished reputation. No studio wants to let their fans down, and for the developers in the trenches who poured their hearts and souls into the game, they knew they had a long road ahead of them as they began focusing on improving Cyberpunk 2077. Quote, the global art director, Jacob Napik. These Polish, this is going to be like the Polish, like, yeah, kind of names. Oh, it's going to be.
We're going to destroy all the names.
Sorry, Jacob.
He said buckle up.
I think after the release, we did everything we could. Literally everything we could. We invested a lot of effort with a 1.5 next-gen release, where it was a massive priority to fix the game. Making the team to work on the game and fix it was really the hardest thing ever. To motivate the team to put in more effort was a really hard thing because everyone was devastated after release. While morale may have been low at the time, CDPR knew that they did not want to abandon this IP, especially one with the most potential. This renewed focus led to an organizational overhaul at CDPR. That CDPR looked to create more open lines of communication between its team, more flexible approaches to fine-tune any issues that arose during development, and an environment of supportive workflow. In the base game, we had the situation that we called silosis, what they call it. One of the directors explained. We had art silos, we had code silos, for example, a few departments working on their own part and not really looking outside of their silo, not communicating very well with each other. That's something that we definitely fixed for Phantom Liberty. There was now much more communication. We have the strike teams who are working on the quest, so it's not like the quests are made by a designer and he's just ordering stuff like an asset here, a car here. Right now, they're working as one team. CDPR strike teams.
Crazy.
Isn't that wild communication?
Crazy. That's wild. Like, wow. Holy crap.
I mean, maybe after reading this article, it kind of made more sense of why it launched the way it did, you know?
Oh, yeah. They didn't have a structure at all. It just seemed, yeah. Well, at least, yeah, the bright, Yeah, go. Continue, please.
We will continue. There's only a couple paragraphs left, but yeah, I think there's a lot more details too, and some other articles and videos. But CDPR strike teams are filled with different developers from different departments and disciplines, all working together on sections of Cyberpunk 2077 while also being mindful of the bigger picture. With this new production framework, CDPR's workflow allows for its teams to talk to each other every day, provide feedback and support. It's invaluable, narrative director Igor said. For creative work, I think this is the only way to go right now. The results of this new streamlined workflow approach? Well, one of the best games of the year, as Phantom Liberty earned itself a rare 10 out of 10 review score and how it embodied the very best of Cyberpunk 2077. Development of the Cyberpunk 2077 sequel is officially underway, and several members of the core team for the first game are involved with a follow-up to the dystopian sci-fi adventure. It's crazy stuff. I think we knew they were working on a second game, right? But like this guy's just like, yeah. I mean, and you know,
it confirmed it.
Yeah, and there was another article I didn't include, but it was also talking about Witcher 4 and how that's in full production now. Like pretty much all hands on deck for the most part. I mean, obviously they still have a separate team working on this, but yeah.
Yeah, it's actually really embarrassing what happened to CD Projekt Red with all the titles that they released were all critically acclaimed, like really, really good games.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then when Cyberpunk 2077 came out with all the promises it did, and then it just didn't deliver.
Yeah.
And that makes sense how, okay, yeah, the morale was probably pretty low.
Yeah.
It's like they pride themselves on what they push out, and then they pushed out trash. And then what you're reading now is like, oh, you know that obvious stuff that every functional, successful company has ever done? Yeah.
That was missing. Yeah,
let's just not do that anymore for whatever reason.
Yeah, like it works so well.
We don't need it.
They had a structure, and then for this game, they were just like, nah, I could do it.
Yeah, who knows exactly what happened. This is definitely a PR move to like, hey guys, this is what really happened, and sorry.
Yeah.
But good news is they're fixing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some companies just abandon it altogether.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's, you got to give CDPR credit for that. It's, they kind of just stuck with it, and now when I replayed the game, it was evident that, it was in a much better state, and there's, the additional content was, relatively like bug free and all that from what I played, and it was very, very much playable and enjoyable. And,
oh yeah.
And I think that's, it's a credit to, kind of just going back and giving it another shot. I mean, you can, and I mean, it's just a story of like, you can redeem these IPs. Like, granted, if you do it correctly, you shouldn't have to redeem anything, right? Like, it should just be good off the jump and you're good to go and do all that. But like, and I'm not sitting there like trying to give like CDPR like, trying to, give them like a get out of jail free card, but it's like you can turn things around if it's not necessarily the best start. And I think it's what we see from like this game, from Battlefield, from the biggest game of all time that was like a thing, around this. And what was that game? Why am I forgetting the name?
Wait, you just said Battlefield. It was
the biggest game of all time in the sense like it was the biggest case of this. No Man's Sky. There we go. I don't know why I could think of
No Man's Sky. Yeah.
No Man's Sky.
Oh, you meant like right? You meant like physically big, right?
Yeah. Well, we'll because like more time... so of like big in terms of like one of the biggest stories of like a redemption arc in game development.
Yeah. No Man's Sky takes the cake for sure on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That game's still like doing massive updates. It's amazing.
That's cool. You can certainly do it. And CDPR is another example of, you can turn the ship around. If you really put your mind to it and actually try and like figure out what's going wrong. Good to hear. Yeah. I mean, I'm very much looking forward to the sequel, and they have to make sure it launches right. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm excited for Witcher 4 too. I hope Witcher 4 is good, especially on launch, but it's one of the things
I think the grain of salt, I know they're probably gonna be different teams, but the overall company is going to be the same, is with CD Projekt Red basically bottling it for Cyberpunk 2077. That was a wake-up call for how they are supposed to make games, especially being so large now.
Oh yeah.
That I think for Witcher 4, they're probably immediately like catching on. They're like, okay, if we got to add more time, there's no release date for this, let's get it figured out now, get things solidified, and then we just build another awesome game.
Yeah.
So,
and communicate throughout development. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It pays silo dividends. It pays dividends if you don't silo off each team. Like,
yeah. Like,
so
you would think you would want, like, he says multiple departments. So it's like, yeah, you would think you want, like, networking, working with, like, I don't know, graphic design or graphic design working with models, you know? It's like, yeah. How is this not obvious?
Yeah, the art team, or, you know, if you're a developer, like, yeah, sure, you're working on mechanics and everything, like core gameplay, yeah. But it's like, also, like, if you want things to look a certain way or behave a certain way, you want to communicate that to the people creating your assets. Like,
exactly.
So, yeah, it's, yeah, it seems obvious, right? But here we are.
Yeah, that's just what happens when some people just show up and they're like, let's just get our job done and get out of here. Yeah. It's like, well, what about the other guys? I don't get paid enough for that. It's like, no, you got to like talk to them, bro. Like, we got to make sure that everything we did today works tomorrow for them.
Yeah, no, for real. That's how every good company should be, you know? I mean, look, we could sit here all day, Mike, and talk about.
Oh, I definitely could.
The, you know, thinking about, yeah, talking about what works right and what we should expect out of people. And I think there's some things we should expect out of the Game Awards next week, right? And we didn't get much last year from Xbox, and sure enough,
they no-showed.
Something's going to change this year, I think.
Yeah. You know, we're actually hitting most of the gaming. I just noticed we got like a different article or different news source everything. Did you do that deliberately?
That's crazy. I did not do that on purpose, I'll be honest. Yeah, that was just like, that just happened.
That is really weird. Okay, so thank you again for giving me the easy last names. Taylor. I said last names. So Taylor Lyles. Hopefully that's right. From IGN, wrote an article about how Xbox has confirmed plans to appear at the Game Awards after last year's no-show. So Xbox teases fans with major announcements and news you won't want to miss. Interesting. Modular Hall Effect controllers? Let's go.
Maybe.
We'll find out. That'd be kind of sick.
That'd be sick.
After a noticeably absent last year, Microsoft confirms that Xbox will have some news to share at this year's Game Awards. In an email sent out to some, including IGN, Microsoft confirmed that it won't be a no-show again at the 2023 ceremony, teasing fans that there will be major announcements and more Xbox news you won't want to miss. You know they're just going to come out and start flexing about the Activision Blizzard purchase.
I mean, they're going to have to. Right?
They have to.
Absolutely have
to. They're going to be like, oh yeah, you like all these games? By the way, the WoW subscription, that's now on Game Pass. And all of a sudden, everybody's playing World of Warcraft again.
Yeah. I mean, look, I will say, before we move on, I mean, I think, you know, especially the leaks that we've talked about on this podcast throughout the year, I mean, I would not think it'd be out of the realm of possibility if Xbox was to talk about some of their upcoming new hardware, and it would be fitting because the Game Awards is where they unveiled the Series X, right? So, like, this is,
that's
like,
very true.
So they unveiled hardware, what, 4 years ago now, and now about halfway through that's the cycle, true. I think it would be a perfect fit if they were to announce some of that new hardware.
And PlayStation had just revealed their disc, like modular disc trays.
Right. Yeah.
I'm curious what Xbox is going to do.
Yeah, how they respond.
Oh, you know what we need more than anything? And it was rumored like 4 years ago, basically like the Fire Stick style Switch that you would plug into your HDMI port. And that would be your portable like Xbox Game Pass that you would stream through.
Yeah, remember like that? Streaming device.
Dude, yeah, it was like an xCloud streaming device.
I honestly, dude, like, that's something I would, if it gives good connection and actually does all that, and like there's low latency, I would consider it. And I think if you pair it with a controller that's supposed to connect server side, like, because they would talk about that, like, it's supposed to connect to the router or whatever directly, like, supposed to cut out the middleman, be a good time to do it.
Be wild. All right, so let's continue a little bit further. Maybe there's some possible teasers that could be happening that Taylor knows about. So while Microsoft did not explicitly say what type of Xbox news would be at the event, the company has made games in development, has many games in development, and it recently acquired Activision Blizzard after a lengthy process. I'm struggling with words right now, a little sick, sorry.
That's what it is, you know.
Let's go. So Xbox's biggest reveal from the Game Awards in 2021, the last one they were at, was a sizable gameplay trailer for Hellblade 2. Senua's Saga, but with the studio having several games in development, including Avowed, Stalker 2, Everwild, State of Decay 3, Hellblade 2, and a Fable reboot, it's really hard to pinpoint whether it will share updates for all or some of these games, or if Xbox plans to announce an entirely new game. Interesting.
Yeah,
so
it's a lot in the books, right? A lot to talk about.
Yep, and I think What else is in this article that we can mention? Mostly the Game Awards are going to air December 7th. I thought it was the 8th, actually, so maybe it's a pre-show. And Jeff Keighley is going to be running it. And what else is here? So regarding some of the games, Xbox either owns or publishes, it has several titles up for nomination in the 2023 Game Awards: Hi-Fi Rush, Starfield, Forza Motorsport, and Diablo. And there's a roundup for IGN. And I think we actually used that roundup last week when we were talking about the possible nominees.
Contenders.
Yeah,
dude. They're also, in a recent Q&A, they said they're phasing out the world premiere. That's like my favorite thing. World premiere. And then you like see the trailer.
It is such a meme, but...
It did become a meme. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, they got to beef up security, right? There's too many stage crashers. Any event Jeff Keighley's hosting the past couple of years has always been some like idiots just running up on stage like GTA 6 or like something weird. Like, yeah, I'm just like,
yeah, that's a good point. They definitely need to up the security because I think Jeff Keighley was about to choke somebody out earlier at the Summer Games Fest. He looked downright upset, man. He looked just mad. And I like definitely related to it. I was like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, like come on. Like,
there's a Game Awards, bro. Like, or I hate to say it, but it's like, there's not that many people watching. Yeah, it's just that, you know, for a fact, it's going to go viral on the internet because everybody that watches those things are like live on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's going to talk about it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah, that's how it is. But yeah, hopefully that, hopefully this cuts down a little bit on the stage crashers. Hopefully they get some security in there.
I think it will. It will, dude, for sure.
Yeah, dude, especially Xbox Awards, I don't want to get too hyped off it, but I'd be excited to see some like hardware stuff if they decide to announce it there. Obviously we're pretty like, I'm pretty like, I hope they announce, like, this is kind of a side, but I hope Rockstar kind of announces GTA 6, kind of does a little trailer or something there. I think that'd be pretty sick. I think it'd be very fitting to have it at the Game Awards. So if it wasn't there, I wouldn't be like super disappointed, but I'd be like, oh, this is the moment, right? Like, if you were going to do it, I feel like Game Awards would be the place to do it. So hoping to see that, hoping to see some stuff. I'd love to see some stuff, maybe some more stuff, like Fable Reboot or like, you know, some of these other titles. I mean, Stalker 2, I think that got delayed. So hear what's going on with that. And Hellblade 2 has been in the works for years now. And it's, I think that's going to be an insane game when it launches. So yeah, it'd be cool to get some updates, but yeah. Again, it's all about the awards, right, of the previous year. So it's like, I feel, you know, I feel like they kind of don't do as many like kind of talking about games. It's more so kind of, you know, celebrating what's already around. But I mean, you know, we still hear new stuff. So, and we're certainly going to get that this year. So I'm excited. Nonetheless, we're only a week away.
We really are only a week away. It's going to be quick and I'm looking forward to covering it.
Yeah, dude, because you already know, ladies and gentlemen, when we cover the Game Awards, listen, it's going to be on a Thursday. Obviously, we normally record the show on a Wednesday, right? We're doing it today on a Thursday. Kind of a, you know, weird week. But we will likely be releasing the show a day later next week, because I think our plan, and what we may do is just kind of record the show the day after, right? So we can process everything and kind of get our overall opinions. We'll do our show on that Friday, and then y'all get the show Saturday morning. It'll be a little bit different. It's like kind of how we did last year.
It will be a little bit different. Yeah.
Yeah, exciting stuff. You know, it's crazy.
We're going to be covering the entire thing, like basically start to finish.
Front to back.
All the highlights. So yeah, it's going to be good. So
good stuff nonetheless.
Yes, sir. You know what is apparently good? I don't know what to believe anymore. A game that I basically said it's never coming out. There's no chance. And I don't even have interest anymore. And yet you keep adding it to the podcast.
This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is why I do it.
You know how I'm going to react every time, dude.
This is why I do it. To get the Mad Mike reaction. This is why I do it. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Skull and Bones leak reveals the release date and early access plans. All right. Hang in with us. According to a new leak making the rounds online, Ubisoft's pirate game Skull and Bones finally has a firm release date. Keyword firm.
Yeah, it's
Dalton
been
Cooper
like
at Game Rant.
Times, dude.
Dalton Cooper at Game Rant reports, published a couple days ago. So, according to a new leak, Ubisoft's pirate game Skull and Bones will finally be launching on February 16th, 2024. Mark your calendars, people, right now. Understand?
Don't waste your
February 16th. You put it in your Google calendar, put it in your Apple calendar, just mark it, you know? That's when you need to check for reviews. Maybe that, maybe a week earlier. So you got Skull and Bones, first announced by Ubisoft's E3 2017 event. Keep that in mind. 2017, it's 2024 by the time this game comes out. With hopes to release it in 2018 when they hope to release it. Obviously, Skull and Bones failed to meet its initial release date. That was the sentence. Just like, pause. Fast forward to 2023, and the long-awaited pirate game still has yet to launch. While Skull and Bones is still lacking an official release date, it is previously teased that the game would be releasing in the first quarter of 2024. Beyond that, Ubisoft has also given individuals the chance to test Skull and Bones ahead of launch, hopefully using their feedback to improve the experience and anticipation of its full release. Now it seems that the Skull and Bones full release is finally nearly upon us. I love how you said finally nearly. It's like two adjectives. Like finally nearly upon us.
Yeah, it's. I don't believe anything.
As the leaked release date is right around the corner. According to Insider Gaming, right? Valid source. According to Insider Gaming, the Skull and Bones release date is February 16th, 2024. Along with a standard version of the game, there will apparently be a pricier edition that comes with 3 days of early access, Mike. Pricier edition. It's been delayed how many times, Mike? You understand? The gravity of the situation,
the absolute
gall,
like yes, gall, the nuts. Yeah, the brass,
the balls. Actually,
to be like, we have a pricier edition. If you want it 3 days early, yeah, 3 days, bro. I wanted it 3 years early. What are you talking about? What are we saying here? Jeez, they're gonna put it like they're really gonna put it around Valentine's Day, bro.
Yeah, like, that's so true. It's actually right around okay. That time. Oh man, yeah. Okay.
Like in multiple countries, I'm pretty sure like multiple countries do Valentine's Day a different day. But like, what are we doing here?
Now, Mike, it should be stressed that Ubisoft itself has not announced the Skull and Bones release date. Although Insider Gaming is a proven source, so it's likely that fans can safely circle the 16th of February in their calendars. Proven source, Mike. I don't tell you.
Yeah, proven source. Proven source. Okay, paid off source, I think. I don't even know, man. I feel like we're just wasting... We're wasting an article to cover. Listen, I don't think it's going to happen.
This is part of the storyline, though, right? Because if it gets delayed again, we cover it again, and we keep covering it. And then we're going to do a culmination at the end of this when it finally releases, a compilation of our coverage over the past year or 2 years. It's going to be great, right? It's all part of the plan, but listen, as for when Ubisoft will make the official announcement about Skull and Bones' release date, the Insider Gaming report says it will happen within the next couple of weeks. The report points to the Game Awards 2023, which is next week, December 7th, as a potential opportunity for Ubisoft to announce the Skull and Bones' release date, but it stops short of saying definitely that the Game Awards is where the announcement will take place. Of course, fans couldn't be blamed if they are skeptical about this leaked Skull and Bones release date. Even if the release date is real and Ubisoft makes the announcement as soon as predicted, it's entirely possible that the game could be delayed again. Skull and Bones has been delayed 6 times already, and so it would almost be more surprising if the game wasn't pushed back yet again. Skull and Bones is reportedly way over budget, and at this point, Ubisoft may be anxious to get the game out and move on to other things. Of course, it's entirely possible that Skull and Bones will be a surprise hit whenever it launches and will receive long-term support, but that remains to be seen. Fans will just have to wait for Skull and Bones to officially launch to find out. February 16th.
My man over at Game Rant just said, if it ends up as a surprise hit, then it'll get... long-term support, bro. It's been in development. No, it should have launched 6 years ago, or was announced 6 years ago.
Should have launched.
It's been in development for over 10 years ago. Yeah,
it's crazy. It's way over budget at this point.
Probably I mean, bloated. It's already receiving long-term support.
Bloated, you know,
they've been working on it for 10+ years. This is a GTA 6, bro. It's literally a ripoff from Assassin's Creed Black Flag Battle Simulator. That's what this should be.
Literally.
Why is it complicated?
Yeah, I don't know, Mike. This thing, I leave this article with one question. Do you trust a man named Dalton?
Dog, on the scroll, maybe. Scroll all the way to the bottom real quick. This is why this is BS, okay?
All right.
No, not that. You went too far. Stay in the same article. You see where the title says Skull and Bones? Look at the platforms. You notice anything kind of peculiar?
PC, PS5, Stadia.
Yeah.
Stadia.
What?
Huh?
Why is Stadia here?
Ew, it has been done for.
What?
We this game.
This game has seen the rise and death of Stadia. And it has yet to be released. And they're like, fans are somewhat skeptical. Dude, I'm so upset. No.
I hate how true that is. Oh my god. This thing has been in development longer than Stadia was alive, dude. Oh my god.
You know what's really bad, man? Is like, if this game comes out and it's a hit and I like it, I'm going to dress up as a pirate. So it's like,
that's going to be the
that's going to be the end of the clip.
That's going to be the full circle irony. It's just you Stadia on stream. Oh my god, dude. If you actually like that game, you better stream it in a pirate costume. That's all I'm requesting.
Oh yeah,
right?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'll grow my beard out too. Become Captain Redbeard again, just real long.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, it's too good. Let's move it's on good. From this, man. This is
we got to talk about real good developers, real good games, right?
Yeah, people that actually launch products that they promise and have a timely order fashion. Yeah, sure, it takes some time, you know. But I mean, like when it comes out, it's that fire, dude. What we're talking about, of course, is Rockstar. Who else? The champions of Grand Theft Auto. Champions. So Kotaku, Zach Zwazen?
Zwazen.
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 He wrote an article on Kotaku called Rockstar, co-founder and GTA lead writer, finally reveals what he's been working on. American Caper and A Better Paradise are the first new franchises from Hauser's Absurd Adventures. Ooh, no idea what that means. Let's get into it. Dan Hauser, who co-founded Rockstar Games, was the lead writer on multiple Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption games, has finally revealed what his new studio is working on. If you expected a video game, well, you'll have to keep waiting.
Aw, dang. Aw.
Kind of a shame. But I mean,
setting, you know,
those stories are pretty good. So
very good.
Let's see what he's getting into. Bye. In early 2020, Dan Hauser left Rockstar Games following the release of Red Dead Redemption 2. Then in June 2023, so this year, pretty sick, Hauser announced his new studio, Absurd Ventures, with the aim to produce multimedia projects spread across video game, TV, film, and comics. Rockstar veterans Laszlo Jones and Michael Unsworth, who left the company after Hauser's departure, are also on part of this new multimedia company. And now we finally know what Absurd Ventures' first projects will be, and no, you aren't getting GTA-like game or Bully successor anytime soon. Announced on November 29th, Absurd Ventures is working on an American Caper and A Better Paradise. The studio describes these projects as original storytelling universes. The plan is for characters and stories from these universes to debut in comics and audio dramas, respectively.
Audio dramas? Ooh.
Sounds like a passion project.
I mean, you're not wrong, man. And hey, if I had that kind of success at a company like Rockstar, I mean, you would think they probably got, you know, probably got the funds to just go out and do what they want at this point. So, I mean, I have full respect.
Yeah, and then bringing, like, leaving the company, starting your own thing, want more independence, not a bunch of overlords over on you, you know? Create a little bit of a legacy, and then you go get some veterans that you trust to come help you. I mean,
And this could be building like, up to something that, if you know, we're going multimedia, eventually maybe we'll...
Exactly, this could be like a... This could definitely be one of those chase your dreams kind of scenarios. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
So, what are these new projects from Dan Hauser? American Capers focused on two normal, badly damaged American families caught in a world of corrupt business, crime, and inept politicians. So, real life?
So, yeah, that and GTA kind of?
Yeah, in a way. Hopefully it's like absurdly. Like,
yeah, right.
I mean, just like well over the top. I mean, that's kind of the whole point of Absurd Ventures. So, the first project set in this new universe will be graphic novel illustrated by comic book artist Simon Bisley. Are you familiar with who Simon Bisley is?
I am not familiar with him. However, I always love the artwork in comics, so.
Yeah. Apparently worked on 1990s work on ABC Warriors, Lobo, and Slain. So apparently very successful, seems to be. Interesting. So Absurd Ventures, other IP, is A Better Paradise, which it describes as an existential suspense thriller set in the near future. The first project from this other universe will be a 12-episode audio fiction series, and it is currently in production. Both this and the American Caper comic book are planned to launch in 2024. And there's a pretty cool Twitter post, little announcement, it seems. So Hoser, Dan Hoser, Don? Is it Dan? Yeah, Dan. For some reason, I want to say Don. Maybe it's because of the GTA game. The Don. So Dan went in an interview and a press release to talk about the project. So he goes, "We are excited to introduce these two universes and their characters and lore. They represent our approach to storytelling and media. These initial releases will allow us to introduce these universes at the same time as we are working on other iterations and expansions. This is just the beginning." According to the press release, Hauser's company is currently working on a wide range of projects, including animation, video games, graphic novels, audio fiction, and more. Absurd Ventures confirmed that more info about these new franchises will be coming in the months ahead. For folks who are excited to see Hauser's and company's next big video game project would be following GTA and Red Dead, it looks like that's not happening right now. However, the description of American Caper's universe sounds pretty GTA-like to him, to me, is Kotaku writer, and maybe one day an open-world game from Absurd Ventures will be set there. For now, though, it's comics and podcasts. So,
I like the idea of kind of an audio kind of drama thing. It's like a an audiobook kind of style. I mean, it's one of those things. Yeah. I feel like, and like if the writing is really good, it'd be like a thing. I'd feel like I'd listen to it and be like, oh, I want to play this. Or like, I want to see this, like in a movie or something.
Yeah,
like that. I
think it would be pretty sick. Get people excited for it. I do think it's interesting how there's some type of belief that Dan would have the ability to expand the Grand Theft Auto universe. I feel like Rockstar Games would own that almost in perpetuity. Yeah,
I'm sure, right?
So, if you're the co-founder of Rockstar and the GTA lead writer, I'm pretty sure when you leave, they're going to sign like a exclusivity agreement. Like you can never work on your projects unless you come back and work for us kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure legal teams got that wrapped up, huh? You know, it's like,
have to.
Yeah. I can imagine they wouldn't let, you know, an IP as big as that kind of, let
go with the writer now. No, I don't see that happening.
I mean, that being said, I mean, this is a proven writer, so it's. I think it's exciting in that regard, right? I mean, you have someone who, has proven that they, can write a riveting and fulfilling story. So I think that alone is kind of like, I'd be excited to hear, the first episode of that drama, right? See what it's all about.
Yeah. I do think from like, a starting a new company kind of basis, doing comic books and audio is much, much cheaper, and you get to see what kind of interest there is. It's like a way to spitball your idea to see if it'll be successful enough before you start throwing in like $100 million into creating a new AAA studio and game
and trying to get investors and all that. I mean,
It's like you got to be able to show them, just like, hey, check this out, this is really good, that kind of thing.
People
it's
are
like really
the
successful
story, like, hey,
yeah. Yeah, let's make it a TV show and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's kind of I think it's certainly the start of that, right? So I mean, dude, best of luck to Dan. I mean, leaving a studio like Rockstar, I mean, I'm sure it's a pretty cushy job, right? Like something like that, especially with his kind of tenure. So I have full respect for people that go off and do their own thing. So I'm curious to see kind of what comes out of the studio, and curious to see what they have going forward, because it seems like they're working on a lot of different stuff at the moment. So
I think it's it'll be cool to see what he tries to do to be a co-founder of Rockstar. And then wrote one of the most famous IPs ever.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean,
there's obviously some type of talent out there.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, I don't know. Like, this person's proven. So that's what's got me kind of excited about it. So
that's what I mean. Yeah.
Certainly, much to look forward to, Mike.
Most importantly, though, Game Awards next week.
Yes, sir.
It's the main one I would want to get to.
I'm excited, man.
But the good news is we knocked out pretty big articles relatively quickly. How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say. Got through it pretty quick. I mean, it was a decent amount to cover, but, you know, I wanted to be efficient, too, because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we got to respect Mike. I mean, this man's a trooper coming out here, not feeling the best.
Just doing my best.
Just not feeling the best. I don't want to keep you here for 2 hours suffering. You know what I'm saying? Or an hour and a half suffering, as we normally do on the show.
That's for what listening, I do every Sunday when I'm watching the Panthers.
That's a very, very harsh reality, Mike. You know?
Yeah.
I know you saw you've been seeing my tweets too, you know, about the Panthers Nation and the Panther stuff. I made a tweet today. One of some of my finest work. Took me like 30 minutes to Photoshop together that.
It was pretty good. Sure. I gotta be honest, it was pretty good. I saw it and I was like, I saw it right when you posted, and I was like, okay, like, that's an easy like. Pretty funny. So if anybody wants to go see what we're talking about, if you care about the NFL or whatever, go look up Mr. J.K. Heath on Twitter. You'll find it.
I try to post this. It's one of the things I've learned a thing or two from Photoshop, and especially from doing the stuff on this show and kind of just, you know, for other people as like memes. So I've learned a thing or two. So I kind of just, you know, if I have an idea, I'm just like, I like fixate on it. I'm just like, all right, let me do it real quick.
So. Dude, you gave me the most ridiculous screen like grab from the segment, I think, that posted today. So in our Discord, if you go to notifications, what is that face that you just decided to rip? Think I didn't notice?
I was like, I literally pulled that and I was like, dude, Mike is gonna kill me. Yes. So I just like used it and I just immediately used that.
What did you, dude, like last week you actually asked me, you're just like, so you were like, I don't think I want to see it in person again because I think you're gonna kill me.
Like, I think you're just gonna like punch me next time I see you.
Like,
straight up.
Nah, man. No, like I like the still frames and stuff, even though they're, I guess they're embarrassing in a way that make me look kind of ridiculous. But
look, I
like it because it's funny, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I see that stuff, and I'm like, it's hilarious.
Yeah, I try to find funny ones of me every now and again. And I want to put more of an effort to just try and like get in thumbnails that when people look at it, they stop for a second and they're like, all right, what's going on? Click. Like, that's kind of the goal. So
I'm scrolling in our notification feed and there's every single one of mine are all ridiculous. I had to scroll up to the beginning of this month to see one of you being ridiculous. And it's the one that settled the Epic Games reward where we talked about Fortnite creators getting paid for in-game spending.
Yeah, listen, all right.
And it's,
I will make a more valiant effort, Mike, to make me look more like a dumbass, okay?
You're smiling, looking serious, intellectual, and then there's just me, straight up derp. It's like the only ones that look serious of me is the ones that I take of myself and send to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if all the thumbnails changed of every piece of content we made this year, it wasn't my fault, right?
Yeah, whatever. It's still funny, though. Mm. It's hilarious, I think.
Yeah. So. I mean, this is it, Mike. We have a, you know, bad sports team, good games, nice Game Awards next week. It's looking up at the end of the year, you know what I'm saying? We only got two more episodes left in the year, so gotta make the most of it.
That's true. Yeah, then we go on break. But if you don't want us to go on break, make sure to like, follow, subscribe, comment below. Check us all out. We got everything in the description below. We got timestamps. You want to check out the articles that we covered? You want to read them yourself? You don't trust us? Links below. Go click it. What else am I missing here? Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. I think everything you need to know is in the description below.
Everything. Quite literally. Yep. Yeet. Oh, that was actually kind of sick.
Yeah.
You just chuck the dog toy. Yeet.
Chuck the dog toy. He's unfortunately not there, though. I'm kind of nervous because I haven't seen him in a while.
Oh, so dude, I hate that. Ado, that's me with my cats all the time. They do, if they're off for hours, I'm like, they're dead. And I'm just trying to look for them.
Yeah, for the people that like stuck around this long, I've been like periodically looking around because he's been bringing over toys to me and like putting it underneath the desk and like chewing on it a little bit and then walking away and then coming back with a different one. And he got some stuff that like these ain't toys. This is like his sweater. This is like a mat to like bury his food so he can eat.
Oh, but like, my gosh.
These are in places that he shouldn't be able to get to.
Oh, no.
So I think I need to go figure out what's going on in the rest of the house.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to walk out there and cushions are going to be in the kitchen and plates are going to be tucked.
And I squeaked the toy and he didn't come running, which means he's caused okay. damage.
Ladies and gentlemen, so, I think this is calls for some Mayday and we have to end the episode here, unfortunately.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed everything. We'll be back next week with the Game Awards. We finally get to figure out if Grand Theft Auto is going to show up. Hopefully that's all we get to talk about. That'd be awesome.
Be sick.
Yeah. And without further ado, thank you very much for tuning in and listening this far. We really appreciate you. I'm Michael Anthony. This is Kyle Heath. And we'll catch you next week. See you later. Peace out.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.